Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of Revelation puts two women before our eyes. First, in chapter 12, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, but pregnant, crying out in her pangs of birth and in anguish of delivery. She is stalked by a great red dragon who seeks to devour the child that she holds. And when he fails to destroy the child after the birth, the stalking of the woman continues as he chases her into the wilderness. I think you get the picture. This woman's life looks pretty hellish. She is stalked, pregnant, in pain, and then always on the move, the kind of woman to be shunned in our pleasure-seeking world. The other woman comes on the scene in chapter 17 of Revelation, not chased by a beast, but sitting pompously and gloriously, fully in control on the beast, arrayed in opulent and passionate purple and scarlet, bedecked with gold and jewels and pearls, having a golden cup overflowing with all of the vices that this world finds pleasurable, and intoxicated with the blood of all the people she has squashed with her unsurpassed military, economic, and religious power. This is a woman who has it all: seductive beauty, pleasure, wealth, and power, a real babe in this world's eyes. Revelation goes on to lift the dresses of these women, to unveil them so that they can be seen for who they really are, and puts before us their respective futures. The latter is the whore of Babylon, a prostitute who has fornicated with everyone seeking her pleasure, wealth, false religion, and power. She is symbolically described as a city, Babylon, that the world thought would last forever, but who, and with all who are in her, will be utterly devastated and eternally destroyed, as the lament goes in chapter 18, "Alas, alas, thou great city, thou mighty city Babylon, in 1 hour has thy judgment come. The lake of fire awaits her." The other woman, who had been stalked and chased earlier, is described in this final vision on this last day of the church year, the vision that was just read. John is told by the same angel that has just shown him the vision of the whore of Babylon, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." She who was stalked and wandered in the wilderness is now described as a city, the new and holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. She who had no riches now has the glory of God that radiates like every precious gem of this world. She who wandered now has walls, foundations, gates. She who looked like she had no future now endures forever. The bride of Christ, you, I, and all who have been washed and made pure in the blood of the Lamb are shown our future in this vision. You and I, who are often tempted to forsake our ever faithful husband who gave his life for us, to forsake his way of the cross in order to prostitute ourselves to all the gods that this world has to offer, are shown who we really are in Christ. Here we are shown with John the ugly end of the whore of Babylon that we sometimes want to be and sometimes indeed are. But more, we are shown the beautiful future of the bride, our future. With many human marriages, the expectations that the future holds usually doesn't pan out after the wedding and honeymoon, sometimes that husband, that wife just aren't all that we expect them to be. Their sinful selfishness shows itself. But not so with our marriage with Christ. He called us from prostitution to other gods. He lifted us out of the gutter of our sinfulness and washed us in baptism, wrote our names in His book of life, and He gently rebukes our ongoing transgressions and seeks and speaks His word of absolution. He speaks His love over and over and over again, even when He only hears faint replies from us. And week after week, He joins His own flesh and blood with our flesh and blood. That blood given and that body given on the cross with our sinful and dying flesh, so that His righteousness and life is in us. Now, this is a marriage that goes far beyond expectations. And this closing vision of Revelation shows us that the best bliss of this marriage is yet to come. This vision does raise a few questions. Why depict a bride as a city? Now, certainly it's a nice contrast with the other city, the other woman, the Whore of Babylon. But this chapter certainly shows that the city depicted in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48 was not established, which depicts the great and grand plans for the future Jerusalem and the temple. Those plans did not come to fruition when the temple and the walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt after the Babylonian exile. But this prophecy was rather fulfilled in the church, especially coming to fullness in the bride and her union with her groom on the last day. The walls, the foundations, the gates all show that the bride of Christ is not some kind of spiritual, invisible abstraction, but a tangible and concrete reality that is visible in the faithful remnant of ancient Israel and in the new Israel who gathers where Christ washes, speaks, and feeds. Why all these precious stones, you may ask? These stones are a visible testimony that the glory, the likeness, the image of God that man was given, made with at creation, is now fully restored at the resurrection of the glorious bride of Christ. Again, Ezekiel helps us to understand this truth. The lamentation that Ezekiel the prophet is instructed to speak against the king of Tyre in Exodus chapter 28 reflects the lamentation of God over Adam's loss of his glory following his fall. Listen again. He says, "You are in Eden. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering: carnelian, topaz, jasper, chrysolite, beryl, onyx, sapphire, carbuncle, emerald, and wrought in gold were your settings." Revelation 21 presents the bride in her resurrected glory as again adorned with these jewels, namely bearing the image of God. The high priest who bore these 12 precious stones on his breastplate was a foreshadowing of Christ, who, as the glory and likeness of God, took on human flesh to become the new Adam, bearing once again in human flesh the glory of God, so that unblemished flesh could be the certain soul and complete atoning sacrifice for sin. The new heaven and the new earth of Revelation is not an escape from the flesh and matter. It is a restoration of Eden and the fleshly man to the image of God. True radiancy of glory and bliss beyond compare. One important final question. Why no temple? The measuring of the temple in Revelation 11 assures us that God will continue to build, preserve, and dwell in his church throughout history. But in the New Jerusalem, there will be no temple, for as our text says, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. There will no longer be a need to mark out sacred space in a sin-polluted world. All creation, heaven and earth made new, will again be purified, sacred space where the Creator is worshipped by all of his creatures. This is the certain future of Christ's bride, your future, my future, a future unveiled for us that we remain faithful to our groom as we await his return. There shall be no more anything accursed. For the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall worship him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.